Hafaday, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
This psalm is a tremendous expression, Christians, today, to help us that these same feelings of inadequacy and pressure, and one in which we're encircled with great problems, become a great promise by God.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Herron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Herron with today's message.
I hope that today, if you find yourself with no problems, no troubles, no difficulties, no struggles, no pressures, and everything is great, you're living victoriously every day, and you have it all put together spiritually, and you have no difficulties, then this message isn't for you. And you're going to be bored. But if you're like the rest of us, with challenges, questions that sometimes are unanswered, sometimes pressures that seem quite overwhelming, because the Hebrews looked at life and looked at their God and really looked at Scripture in a Hebraic way in which there wasn't a Greek thinking where everything was just analyzed and line by line by line. And it was more of an idea of poetry and also a documentation of what went on in their lives. Psalms 46 also actually became a real endearment to Martin Luther. And Martin Luther leaned heavily on Psalms 46 at critical times in which he was at Wartburg Castle being threatened by his life because he was, you remember, the priest that nailed up the 95 theses and saying, this is what Scripture teaches, this is what the church is teaching, and came the Reformation, and he had such a drive to be able to take the language of the Scriptures into the common people that he took that year plus and wrote out the Scriptures into the common everyday language. And out of that also, he wrote 9 hymnals, gathered multiple countless songs. And one of those was Psalms 46. And many, many times in those dark, depressive times, he would call out to his assistant Philip and say, Philip, come, we want to sing Psalms 46 and penned a mighty fortress is our God that we sang today, because he knew that God to him was a refuge. And today, for the Jews of old, as it is for Christians today, the Psalms, which again is the songbook of the Jews, the Hebrews, God called people that ultimately in his sovereign plan was to expand that to you and I as Gentiles, grafting us in to the promise of truth that I will be your refuge. I'll protect you. I'll guard you. So all through Scripture, you'll end up finding that theme. And that's why when you find Psalms 46, it really wasn't this secret code, and it was to the history of the Christians very meaningful. But really where Psalms 46 comes from was an event that happened in 2 Chronicles 32. Turn there. Let's just read the story. I'm not going to read every verse, but I think you can follow the storyline of really where we get Psalms 46 and Psalms 47 and Psalms 48. Now, I'm going to go in a little bit of a teaching mode here, because those three Psalms, 46, 47, 48, are really what we call a triad of truth. These were all documentation or response to what happened in 2 Chronicles 32. And you remember, we're going to flip quickly to Isaiah chapter 37. So we're going to move back and forth. But this is the story that sets up the words in Psalms 46. And I'm going to draw 3 very simple statements out of Psalms 46. But I hope it'll help you, because really, this psalm is a tremendous expression, Christians, today, to help us that these same feelings of inadequacy and pressure and one in which we're encircled with great problems become a great promise by God. Look at 2 Chronicles 32, because you will end up finding this is the story that set up Psalms 46 with Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a shining star on a very black, bleak background of Israel. So here you end up finding when great things are going on, I mean, God's blessing and prospering, Sennacherib starts attacking from the north. Hezekiah's a king. You got an army coming down on him. He's got a prophet named Isaiah, and Isaiah and Hezekiah now realize we're in big trouble. Listen, and now you've got all these people saying you're in trouble. Now, the reason this is because Hezekiah's father Ahaz, bad guy, made an alliance and said, I'm going to pay you tribute, Sennacherib. I'm going to give you money. I'll give you tax. Don't mess with us. That's what he did. When his son Hezekiah was now in leadership, Hezekiah said, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not messing with that. I'm not paying you nothing. And so Sennacherib comes down and says, I can't let this guy just go. And here's this fortified city of Jerusalem. Let's just take this. No problem. There are way more of us than there is of those people there in Jerusalem. Notice what happens with Hezekiah's prayer and Isaiah. This is what happened. And Isaiah said, Isaiah 37, notice verse 14, and Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers, Sennacherib, and he read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord, and he spread it before the Lord. He put that letter out before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, and he documented his prayer. O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwellest upon the cherubims, that art the God, even thou alone, of all the kings of the earth. You made heaven and earth. You incline your ear, O Lord, to hear. Open your eyes, O Lord. See and hear all the words of Sennacherib, which he sent to reproach the living God. God answered his prayer. Notice verse 36. Here you find the answer. Then the angel of the Lord, this is the rest of the story, went forth, smote in the camp of the Syrians 185,000, 185,000 of their soldiers. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. So here the Jews hearing this, all of Assyria now is not going to mess with Israel. There is such a great joy. It's documented. And the result of this is Psalms 46. Turn to Psalms 46 because you'll end up finding the Jews now for many, many centuries use this as a great encouragement, not just for military exploits, but for their own personal lives, just as the same sense in which they knew no hope tomorrow. We're attacked. We are in a refuge. God, would you please step in and help? That's why I said at the very beginning, listen, if you have no problems, you've never had a sense in which emotionally, mentally, physically, financially, spiritually, under press at any time, you're going to be bored with these words. If you're ever at a point saying, God, I don't know what to do, then you can understand in a greater sense when Hezekiah said, God, I'm spreading this out before you. I don't know what to do. God says in Psalms 46, notice these words, I believe, penned by either Hezekiah or Isaiah, but certainly I wouldn't go to the mat if you were to say, well, maybe David penned this because David was in many, many times of great problems. It might be. But notice, if you would, let's read through this again, expand some of the thoughts here, and then give you three simple points at the end. Notice verse 1, God's our refuge and strength. Here you end up finding this song sung by the sons of Korah, if your Bible might put this addition in here, by the chief musician. It was for the sons of Korah. There were 9 of these psalms that the sons of Korah were able to sing. Side point, am I going too fast for you? Korah, who is Korah? You remember? Korah was a bad man. Korah was a prophet and ended up speaking out against Moses and Aaron. He was a cousin. He said, who are you, Moses? Who are you, the big deal? Numbers 21. How in the world can you say what you're going to say? God judged Korah. And you find out of Korah now a whole line of people that became musicians in the temple. You know what that says to me? That says to me, God, in his grace, will give to you a life of obedience and blessing, regardless of what your parentage may be, regardless of what's happened. He's not going to hold you responsible as long as your heart is one of obedience. Here you find the sons of Korah singing this, as it says in this particular song, a song with an alamuth, which I personally think is the soprano or tenor. It's meant for a high part. This is what they were singing regularly in their worship. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He says in verse 7, The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Then he says in verse 11, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. The word Selah, in essence, could be made as stated as, think about that. Think about that. Can you imagine? This is God, and he is exploiting great events. What were those? Notice he says, verse 1, God's a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. The word trouble is the same word that would mean in a tight spot, in a wad. He's in a jam. He's saying, listen, when you get to this point, Israel, you've got to realize that Jehovah will get you out of a jam if you, like Hezekiah, who's writing, saying, listen, therefore, I'm not going to fear. Though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, no matter if the whole world seems to be coming apart, the waters thereof are roaring and troubled. It's like this huge tsunami. The mountains are shaking with the swelling thereof. Those mountains that are quaking, what we would know as an earthquake, even if the whole nature is exploding, God is our refuge. Think about that. He says in verse 4, there's a river, the streams thereof shall be glad, the city of God, the most high place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her. And that right earth, God will protect her. There's a stream. Do you remember Hezekiah mentioned he stopped up all of those fountains? There was one Assyria did not know about. It was the spring of Gihon. If you were to take where that tabernacle was, or that temple was, and where the children of Israel were in Israel, there is a stream that Hezekiah had built earlier. It went down 60 feet below the city, and it built a tunnel 1,777 feet long, hewn out of solid rock, large enough for you to walk through. And from that hooked to a spring on the outside of the gates of Jerusalem. They covered it over so you didn't know the spring was there, and Hezekiah had built this long tunnel. So when the spring would come up, that whole tunnel would be filled with water and ultimately then would feed the city. So the city itself had this constant fresh source within of this wonderful fresh water. Why, Jesus himself said in John 7, I am that living water. It was their constant pictures and symbols and metaphors that Jesus was saying, listen, in the midst of great problems and struggles on the outside, I will be that water source. Fact is, to this day, you can go down and they've opened up this Hezekiah's tunnel. It becomes a tourist attraction. And you can end up taking your shoes off and walking through water that's probably up to your knees, freezing cold water, man. 1,777 feet hewn out of solid rock. I remember walking through part of that thinking, oh boy, I'd hate into being the slaves that had to do this one. This was huge. There was only one other tunnel almost that long on the north end that Solomon had built. It's unbelievable. Why did Hezekiah do it? Because he himself is saying, listen, you're going to need those streams, such in contrast to the raging waters on the outside, that source of fresh water.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.